Chapter 5, Spoiler, Let It Snow, by John Green, Maureen Johnson, and Lauren Merkel. In this chapter, we will start with summarizing each of the three stories in the novel and comparing them to what happened in the movie, along with picking our favorite moments and characters. At the end, who won? The book or the movie? Turn the page. Okay, so we started with Julie and Stuart. Her parents went to get something for the village, elf village they obsessively collect. They got arrested. She has to go on that train to her grandparents in Florida. She passes by Georgetown. The train gets stuck there. She sees a Waffle House across the road from the train. She decides to go there. But before that happens, she met Jeb, who was sort of sulking and wants to get to his girlfriend or something.
As fast as possible.
And there were these noisy cheerleaders, so she had to leave them and go. At that point, we know that Jubilee has a sense of humor from how she talked to her boyfriend on the phone, how she reacted to what happened to her parents. So that's Jubilee. She goes into the Waffle House. They're weird. Someone is sitting there with a tinfoil.
Oh my god. What's up with the tinfoil?
What tinfoil? Anyway, Stuart gets in. His car got stuck as well. He's wearing Target bags. So tinfoil and Target bags. Oh, this sounds crazy. Anyway, he offers to help her and take her home. And so she goes with him. He keeps jabbing her about her boyfriend. I don't know if jabbing is the right word. Anyway, it's not, but you get what I mean. They fall into a lake. They get out very cold, go into and the wet. House, get wet, get warm and dry. And his mom is weird. And he has a little sister. We know he plays the piano really well and he helps people around. And yeah, he hasn't been around. She's from that fancy city and he's from a town. So he's that homey person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got his heart broken by a cheerleader in his school, Chloe. So he's still trying to get over her. That was a month ago. But he feels this attraction to Jubilee. Their mom pushes them on. He tells her the story about Chloe. She breaks up with her boyfriend, Noah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she freaks out because she kisses him. And yeah, she freaks out and leaves. He finds her. They kiss again and they like each other. And like that's
the end.
Yeah. Love from the first day or whatever. That was Maureen Johnson.
Maureen
Johnson. Jubilee Express.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to go just skip a couple details as well if I don't remember anything. Mm-hmm. But from what I just saw, we just finished watching the movie.
Yeah.
They never mentioned the story with her name. They just called her Julie right from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so her name is just Julie in the movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. She starts, we have her as a scene. Laying in her bed, that's like the only reference we have to her previous boyfriend Noah, where he was kissing her on the cheek on an Instagram picture, and mm-hmm. that's like where she was upset. Okay,
yes.
A shot after that, we have her receiving the letter with Columbia, that she was accepted to the Columbian University. After that, we have her going to the elf shop, like where they sell the miniature elves for the village that mm-hmm. her mom likes to build. And the guy tells her that he doesn't have the one she ordered anymore. She ordered the wrong one and blah, blah, blah. The whole thing, she doesn't get what she wants. Then she's on the train. The train stops. She meets the steward guy on the train, which is weird. There's a complete distortion in the narrative. She gets off the train when the train stops. She goes to the Waffle House. He goes after her. Not necessarily after her. He wanted to leave the same times as she was leaving. So they end up going together to the Waffle House. It's called Waffle Town. Wasn't it called Waffle House?
Right. It was, I think.
It was called Waffle House.
Uh-huh.
Okay. After that, they have like this moment in the Waffle House. They eat their waffles and they talk about their themselves a little, like joke around. And then he has to leave because he's apparently a famous singer or something. I don't know. And like the cheerleaders in the Waffle House recognized him. So he had to escape through the bathroom window. She goes around the building. Then they meet up. Then she has like a mental explosion of like she's accepted in Colombia, but her mom is sick and she can't leave the town. She has to help her mom and her dreams will never come true because she wants to help her, like, because she just can't leave her mom behind. So he tells her, why not tell her? After that, they go home. He's wearing her grandpa's clothes because his clothes got wet from their sliding.
So it was sliding, not the lake.
Yeah, it was because they were sliding on the mountain and they didn't get wet. He just got wet. So they didn't get wet because of the lake. They got wet because of the sliding down the mountain with the sledge.
Okay? I would have loved to see them fall in that frozen lake. I'm so pissed. And get to see them fall in that frozen lake. I want to see how it looks, you know? I've never seen a frozen lake in real life. Is it going to be like the James Bond scene? I don't know if you know it.
But I mean, acting it is terrible, so...
Yeah, it would be terrible for the actors.
Yeah. Maybe they just skipped it because they wanted something in their comfort zone, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
Yeah, after that, they are in Julie's house. He gets to meet her grandpa. He's first skeptic, and then he likes him afterwards when they were, like, bonding over music. Julie is afraid to tell her mom about Colombia. He tells her she has to tell her because it's just something she has to do. She has to grab the opportunity and stuff like that. Then his publicist appears and calls him back. And then they don't see each other for a while. After that, she goes to the party because she's like on a Snapchat story. She sees her friends partying and stuff like that. So she goes to party. She listens to one of his songs, says that she likes it. She used to hate it and now she likes it, and then he's there, they have a moment, they kiss, and then they party together, and that's the end of their story.
Yeah. Okay, I guess let's compare those.
Yeah.
So other than the lake bit, I think they switched them in a way. Like in the book, Stuart's father left a couple of years ago.
Huh.
And instead of the grandfather, there was the little sister.
Yeah.
And we didn't see her parents.
No. They were in jail because they did something crazy to get one of those figures.
Yes. And Stuart had an elf city as well, but like a really smaller one. Yeah. So that's a thing that was very, very confusing. Yes. And in the book, he's the homie person, the one who was going to stay in the town.
Yes.
And she's the one from the city. So
yes,
they switched them up basically and changed stuff at the same time. Like
one very weird thing. Where was the motivation in the movie that she was on the train?
She went to another place to get her mom the elf thingy, and then she was returning.
Ah, okay. So she left to get that elf thing and then come back?
It's a weak point, I guess.
It's
I don't
such
know.
Weak point.
Or it's weaker than the book. I mean, like, her hopping on a train because no one in town of her relatives is there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Why should she spend Christmas alone?
Exactly. And he was...
That's a very common theme, by the way, in all the stories, not to spend Christmas alone.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why Stuart asks her to come to his house, so she doesn't spend Christmas alone.
Yes, and he isn't even Christian. They were Jewish, I think. Yeah. So...
I totally forgot that detail.
But it was cute, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. After that, I mean, there are some things that I found better in the story. Like, they had a better build-up for their relationship.
Exactly.
They had a lot more to bond over. Mm-hmm. You know, first the village.
Yes.
Okay, like these little things, these little ambitions.
The lake.
The lake. And Stuart was there to help his family, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He had the same ambition to, like, not leave his family behind and stuff like that. And what else did they bond over? Like, there were so many things. Like, first of all, her name. Jubilee. That was a conversation starter on its own. Like, why did they just remove that? That gave her such interesting perspective to her character. Yes,
and in the movie, she's less humorous than in the book. But I mean, in the movie, they made her mom sick, so I get why. In the book, they had these moments of, like, them not being with each other to absorb everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a movie. We can't have that, like, all the time, but...
Yeah,
well... Like, this was my favorite story of the three, and...
They completely slaughtered it.
Yeah,
they not did. Just ruined it, they slaughtered it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I study film, and I don't see a reason to make all these changes. Like,
yeah.
It was... If they just did it, like, as closely to the plots, to the plot points or the events in the book, or as it happened in the book, and just intercut everything so it's, like, in the book we go back in time and then forth, and then if they did it, like, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
If they just arranged the events of every storyline and, like, did it like that, not separated them, like, in the book. And even if they did separate them, like, in the book and have a fade in between every story of the three, that would have been, like, a good thing to do. I don't know.
By the way, I really wanted to comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have been better if they would have put each story on its own and then connected all the three together at the end? You know, like the book.
I mean,
why did they have to bring everything together immediately? I guess because it's a movie, they have no choice but to do that, but it's like...
No, they have the other choice as well, but if I was going to do that movie, I would have done that. Editing-wise, it would have been...
Time-consuming.
No, not time-consuming. It's not about time. It's about having it be separated in the novel and then connecting it in the editing room would have been given it this order, you know? Like, I'm putting the puzzle together where events happened along the day. You know? I would have gone for that style. But it would have been, like, really nice and amazing as well to do it, like, in the book. Separated the three stories, and so this is the Jubilee Express.
Yes.
I don't know why I keep saying it like that. It just needs to sound like that, you know? Like, what if you say the Jubilee Express? No.
The Jubilee Express.
On a PA system.
After that, we have the John Green, A Cheertastic Christmas Miracle.
Which, from the name, is pretty...
cheesy.
it's pretty much about cheerleaders.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have cheerleaders in Egypt to...
No, thank God we don't. ...relate
to this obsession. Okay, it started like this. They were in Tobin's house.
بس خلي بالك برضو ما تطوليش.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Watching Bond movies. So they get this text from the guy at the Waffle House. Cheerleaders are here. Come over. So they rush to the cheerleaders. The Duke was going to stay. But they convinced her to come for the waffles. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they go on. They get this board game because the cheerleaders want to play this board game. I don't remember what its name.
Anyway. Right, I forgot the Duke's motivation to go to the Waffle House.
The waffle with something. Kind of waffle.
Okay, fine.
Anyway. So yeah, they crash on the road, they find the twins who are scary, going in the same direction, they try to stop them, get in with them to go.
They did arrive at the Waffle House, didn't they?
Yeah, they did before the twins. Yeah, they did arrive before the twins to have the guy from college with the beer come at the same time. So it's a race down to the Waffle House. Who gets the beer and the board game first? They get there, they enter. So yeah, Anyway, the three of them were rushing to the Waffle House. JP didn't have his shift that day. And they had a fourth friend who was at the Waffle House. Anyway,
he's in the movie. He's the other guy who's serving the waffles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, though. But neither I liked his hair. Anyway. So, yeah, along the way, Tobin, we see this attraction between Tobin and the Duke.
Yeah.
And we know why her name is the Duke, not Andy and everything. So,
was it Angie or Andy?
Angie, sorry.
Angie.
Angie, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And there was this code that I liked, actually. Or, like, thought Tobin had. It was... Actually, it was about thoughts. it went like this. But then again, between brackets, and here is one of my main complaints about human consciousness. Once you think a thought, it is extremely difficult to unthink it. And
that's so true.
Yes, that's the only thing I highlighted in the book. Because it is so true. Once you think something in your head, it starts going. It's gone. The train is on the track. You can't go. You can't go back. I mean,
that's true.
Yes, like once you start thinking about someone and like building this fairy tale in your head or... So that wasn't that far. That was along the way. Anyway, so when they reach their Waffle House, he starts talking to cheerleaders, which gets the Duke jealous, which gets her to make him see that she's jealous.
Yeah.
And then they say that they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
How did it happen in the movie?
Do we really want to know? Okay, so in the movie, it starts with JP and Tobin being in JP's house, getting ready for a party because his parents were leaving, and he wanted to invite everyone to his house to have a party. Then the Duke walks in. She's like, what did she say? I don't remember again what she said. She said something to him, and JP could see that he was totally in love with with the Duke. He's like, dude, you need to tell her. I remember a certain quote, but I'm not going to say it here. Then he said...
Okay, I remember it.
You remember? Okay, good. And then he said, he didn't even deny it. He said, yeah, I'm going to tell her today. And then he went up... He was shaving and accidentally cut himself on his chest. And then the Duke walks in. And then we have like a little funny moment between them. I guess if you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about. After that, we have the Duke asking Tobin to go to like this party thing that this college guy has been asking her to. And she invited him as her plus one, basically. And they went there, and it was like, what was it called again? It's this weird sport. This holiday sport that they used to... Okay, after that, they play, and he keeps getting his ass kicked on the game.
Because of the twins.
Because of those twins who got out of jail for some reason. Why? How old are they? Okay, yeah. So after that, he gets his ass kicked by those twins. He stops playing. The Duke's friend keeps apologizing for what they did. And then they steal the keg, the one with the beer in it, mm-hmm. the booze. And then they steal it from the twins, and then they start driving. Then it's like a car chase between the twins and Tobin and the college guy and the Duke. And then they finally escape from the twins, but then their car crashes into a... what's it called? they drove into a ditch and their car got stuck. So they were in front of this church and they were they went inside the church. And then the Duke and Tobin had like a moment together where they bonded with singing, and none of that was in the book.
Playing the piano or organ in that case.
Funny enough, the moment where the college guy was watching them sing that song, I thought he finally realized that there was something between them. But then he gets up and starts dancing with the Duke, with Angie. And then Toby gets jealous, leaves. They have an argument. After the argument, he is wearing that that cape or coat yes, from the wise man. But for me, he looked like a character from Star Wars.
Or Harry Potter.
Or Harry Potter. By the way, he would have made a great Harry Potter.
Harry? I mean, as Harry?
Yeah.
Not a character in Harry Potter?
No, not agreed?
Probably.
Just random thought. I don't know.
His bangs. Anyway.
Yes, that's what I had in mind. Okay, so after that, he's like upset in his car. Then the tinfoil woman, in this case, we have the tinfoil woman who has the pickup truck, comes and picks the car up and he's able to drive again. He goes to the Waffle House. He gets to the Waffle House and then he gets the keg and keeps dragging it to the door. Just like couple meters away from the entrance of the Waffle Town, the twins show up in front of him. He has a mental breakdown in front of them. I found that one hilarious. I think that's one of my favorite moments in the whole movie.
They went so to funny. Piano camp. So what?
After that, they find him hilarious and want to party with him. They think he's cool. And then he goes on the rooftop?
Yeah, rooftop.
He goes on the rooftop. The Duke finds him there. He confesses that he loves her. She...
Straight on.
Straight on.
Like,
I'm in love with you.
Do it. Cushion it.
Way to build up. No build up at all. Then they have a moment, they kiss, and then they party together, and then happily ever after. They are interrupted by Julie.
So that's the story of Tobin and...
Angie.
They're
my favorite couple in this movie.
Yeah, in the movie.
Mm-hmm. In the book, my favorite couple is Jubilee. Jubilee and Stuart.
Yeah. They are my second favorite in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, comparison.
I guess their story is still kind of the same.
Yeah.
Their story is the only one that actually stayed the same throughout the whole movie. Maybe some things changed weird sport that they played, but it's still okay.
Mm-hmm.
The concept is still there.
Yes. And the college guy was on their side instead of JP.
Yes.
I mean, with them in the car whole chase. Fine. Okay.
I mean, yeah. He was acceptable.
Nice. Okay. Third story.
The patron saint of pigs. And there was, I think there was like a Christmas miracle in here, wasn't it?
Yes.
With the pig and this weird woman who
wanted to be a Christmas angel.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, the angel thing.
She went to pick up the pig, the teacup pig, who was a gift for her third friend who did not appear in the movie.
In the movie, yeah.
So now, this is from the point of view of the girlfriend of the boy, Jeb, we met with Jubilee on the train.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be from his point of view, but anyway. Yeah. So she's this character who's pretty very much sorry for herself all the time. Very self-centered. Whiny. Yeah. Her friends tell her that in a nice and not nice way, I guess. They want her to snap out of it, I mean. So the events goes like this. She tells them, she sent him an email, meet me, after they broke up after a week. Their anniversary is on Christmas Eve. They were supposed to meet on Christmas Eve. He got stuck on that train, couldn't call her. His phone broke. We will know that later, or we already know it. She doesn't. She cheated on him because the guy told him about it. Anyway, they love each other very much, but Jeb is the kind of guy who doesn't show emotion.
Yeah.
He knows he's the guy. I feel it. Why do I have to express it?
He's that type
of person. She's the type of person who always so needs to emotional. Be told that she loves, that she's loved and is emotional.
Yeah.
So she has this crazy day at Starbucks where she works. Jubilee and Stuart appear like in the very early of the morning. She forgets to get the teacup pig after meeting the Christmas angel. The Christmas angel turns out to have taken the, picked up the teacup pig, yeah, and her friend, who they were supposed to give her the pig, arrives. So yeah, everybody was there. All the characters we knew were at Starbucks, where Addie works. She got the pig, her friends got in.
Yeah, speaking of Starbucks, remember the publicist of Stewart?
Why can't you be in a town with a Starbucks or something like that?
It had a Starbucks in the story.
Yeah, it did.
Why did she say that it doesn't have a Starbucks? I just want to pull my head off right now.
Yeah, what did they do? Anyway, let's continue with Addie. So yeah.
So ruined.
Her friends get in. She gives her friend the pig. They all get to know each other. They know each other, but some of them don't know each other's names, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it turns out Jeb gave Tobin a message to Addie that he was coming and his train got stuck. So Tobin moves on the message. Then Jeb comes in, he tells her the whole story, and they're like very happy to have seen that they finally can see each other. Yeah, and it's all went down, but it was crazy with every one of them there. And like, it was sort of like the party in the book, but more intense, because they were talking to each other. They didn't talk to each other in the movie.
No.
Huh.
None of them talked to each other.
Okay.
Except when Julie interrupted Angie and Tobin on the rooftop. That's the only moment where they talked to each other.
Huh. Okay.
That's one thing that I really loved about the book. That's when everything comes together, when all the characters from all the stories interact with each other.
Yes. Most of them have been on the margins of each other's lives, but they don't really get to talk. But then this one storm makes them talk.
There's one place that has every story has it in common. It's the Waffle House. The Waffle House appears in each and every story.
And the tinfoil guy.
So there's like a common...
Common character, common setting.
Yes, common setting. And imagine the pressure Lauren Miracle must have had in the very last story, short story. She had to portray each and everyone's character and personality through her writing. But these characters...
These were from John Green's and Maureen's.
Maureen's characters. Yeah. So she's the one who tied the bow neatly on the...
Very neatly, actually. So yeah, how did Eddie and Jeb's story go in the movie?
Oh my god.
It wasn't a story.
It's just so blood boiling. It's so bad. Okay, we're just gonna go right into it. Okay, so the movie starts with Tegan standing in front of the shop where the pig is inside. So we've established that she wants that pig, okay? Mm-hmm. After that... There was a scene with Addie where she tried to reach her boyfriend or something. I don't know.
Yes, before Tegan goes to work.
Yes, before Tegan goes to work. Then they're in the car. They have a dispute. They fight. They argue over something. I can't really recall. She gets out. She drops her off at the pig shop where she was supposed to get the pig. Or she wanted to show her the pig. She just wanted to show it to her. And she didn't, and she just drove off. After that, Addie is stranded, has nowhere to go. She just sits in the middle of the town. No reception, no way to call an Uber. So she hops in with the tinfoil woman in the car and tries to find a way to get to the Waffle House. After that, we have Tegan in the Waffle House where she works. In the story, she used to work in Starbucks, didn't she? Not in the Waffle House.
Addie is the protagonist of the story and she works at Starbucks. Tegan, we don't know where she works.
Okay, so Tegan works in the Waffle House and she apparently has something with one of the cheerleaders going. None of that was in the book as well. She wasn't really a focus in the book anyway.
Other than wanting to get her pig.
Yeah, and other than wanting the pig. So Addie goes to the Waffle House, finds Jeb sitting amongst his friends with one of the girls. She's the student body president in their high school. She calls Addie a psycho, and then she's like, oh, really? If I was a psycho, then I would do this. And then she takes a milkshake and drops it over her head. Jeb then, like, totally freaks out and just starts shouting at her, "You're annoying. We can't spend every minute of every day together. Just let me hang out with my friends." And then she's like, "Really? Yeah, really." And then she goes outside. Tegan goes after her and like confronts her about how she actually acted, that she can be a bit annoying and self-centered, and that she shouldn't walk around chasing people who don't like her the way she likes them. Addie walks away from that, is like, really, obviously doesn't like confrontation. I mean, who likes confrontation? No one likes confrontation. And then she realizes that she actually wants her best friend back, so she gets the pig, gives it to her best friend. They resolve their issues, they love each other again, and then basically, Tegan also gets her way with one of the cheerleaders from the
Waffle House.
Waffle House.
We're supposed to be on the train.
Yeah.
And Addie meets, I think, she gets with the college guy, I guess, at the party.
Yeah, yeah. The college guy from Tobin and Angie's story.
Story, yes. So that's one connection. The other connection is Julie and Angie and the tinfoil woman. She picked up Tobin and she picked up Addie.
Yes.
We still want to know what's the story with the tinfoil.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, okay, so...
So I really like the story more in the novel, mm-hmm. just because it has more dynamic. It brings the characters together. There's like a neat little finish at the end. I mean, the movie has that as well. They did a good job with it, but it's just not as satisfying as the one in the book, isn't it?
Exactly. I don't know...
What the hell they did?
I say I should watch the movie first and then read the book. Why don't you guys agree?
No, it is actually a better concept to watch the movie first and then read the book, because then you have less expectations.
Yes, so that's the problem. But I mean, all in all, the story, the novel and the movie both have three storylines going on. They all treat them in a different way. I guess in movie making, there are a lot of creative decisions affected by other non-creative decisions. So this is how it goes. Editing-wise, it was fine, I guess. The characters, not all of them had chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the most that had chemistry were Tobin and Angie.
God, I love these two.
Yeah. Andy, who annoyed me the most in the book, I actually shouldn't be annoyed with her. I'm like that in my head. I think too much about stuff and I analyze too much and I make so much stuff in my head and I don't know, and I feel sorry for myself a lot. For a lot of things, so I shouldn't feel that way about her, but...
It's like, I know what you mean. It's like, once you start seeing a reflection of yourself in another character, you start hating the thing they're doing, mm-hmm. because you hate it about yourself as well. You always think, like, why are you like that? Why do you do that? But then you always see that, oh my god, I am actually like that, and maybe that's why I don't like her, because it's just one thing that I hate, mm-hmm. that I the fact that I do, and I don't like it when other people do it, because it's just like a reflection of your flaw.
Yeah, you it know? Is. And Angie, she's cool. I mean, she's different. She's the kind of... What I like about her is what they like about her, that she isn't the kind of girl who does stuff because girls do it. She's just...
Like, by the way, Kiernan Shipka's performance for the Duke / Angie, mm-hmm. that's exactly how I pictured the Duke in my head. Exactly. Literally exactly how I pictured her. She's copy-paste.
At moments, I got confused with her character, with the
True,
the
that's show. True. Yeah. But she did a good job. Like, there were moments where she was not girly girl. She was... The Duke, you know?
Yeah. Like, man up.
Man up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, when she stood up for him when they kept kicking him and kept kicking his ass on the sports.
Yes, that was
She
so,
stood up for him and she said, no, that was not all right what they did to you. You know, like, another girl would be like, oh, I'm sorry. But she was, like, standing up for the dude, you know?
And the way he looked at her then. Oh. Anyway, yeah.
It's like, maybe she does care about me.
That's the worst thing when you like someone.
It's like, do they like me back or do they not like me back?
And you start misinterpreting their actions and their responses. That's so true. And I don't know. And you keep looking at them and then do you ask, do they look at me as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Okay, Jubilee. I love her.
Jubilee. Yeah.
Jubilee. I think she's the most balanced character of them all.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
True.
I want to be her. Like, right? She took matters into her own hand.
I love her parents as well. She has such unique parents. You know, even though they got arrested on Christmas. But that's the kind of parents you want. You know, you want those crazy parents who would do anything to do something they're passionate for, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just insane. I mean, it did piss her off that her parents got arrested on Christmas Eve.
And ruined her Christmas with her boyfriend. But
yeah.
You know what? I think she's the kind of character who would have realized what Stewart wanted to tell her all along without him telling her, you know?
Yeah.
Her Noah.
Noah. Yeah.
What isn't really good for her, that she's... more of a
she already kind of knew
her. Yeah, she did.
Kind of already knew. I mean, she broke up with him,
but I mean, maybe she has this thing where
she needs people to push her, you know?
Not push her. She knows deep down, but she won't do anything about it, just not for change not to happen, you know, just so things stay the same.
Okay, so to stay in her comfort zone,
yeah, and stay stable and
yeah,
do what she knows. And like, her life looks
like that now,
so it's fine. She
doesn't want to change anything. Yeah, yeah. Why change it? It's everything's fine. Everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a well-oiled machine.
Giving excuses to everyone around her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's my top favorite character.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Even in the movie, not my top, but yeah, she's second
she's
top.
She's the best looking one in the movie.
Yeah, she's really cute.
She's so adorable, Ida.
She looks really young. Younger,
like,
than
super
everyone.
Young, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's not 18. She's younger than
18. In the 18. Book, she is 16.
Yeah. Maybe. So they got the perfect age.
Yeah.
But I think it's always better to get an older actor to play a younger role, because it's just when you get the perfect age of the person, the real person, to
it's
act
so
the,
real.
It looks too real.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept. Yeah.
One of those
I loved how this book made me laugh out loud with every single page.
Yes. And you know, while I was reading the book, we don't have snow here, but it was the rainiest day.
Yes.
When I was like finished the book
nice.
In that day. Yeah. It was like, wow, the weather is aligning with the story, you know. I love it.
Another thing that I really liked was that it's like a book that you can always go back to. You know, when you have certain books that you read and it's like a one-time thing and you never read again, but you liked that book, you know, but you don't think you'd ever grab that book again and read it.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless you're in the mood to read it. But I feel like Let It Snow is like the perfect thing to go back to, even though maybe you're not in the mood, but you feel like it's the time of the year and maybe you should read something that's related to that vibe, or like that brings you into that winter wonderland a little.
Yeah.
And I feel like Let It Snow is like the perfect thing to read in like a cozy or like cold weather kind of thing, you
know?
All right.
So, this is Let It Snow. We did this episode in the premiere on Netflix.
Yes.
We were so excited for the movie, so bummed by the movie.
I mean, this proves that books just rule. Books just rock.
Okay.
Books will always be the best part of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what happens, book will always never disappoint. Never.
Never. Really.
Ever. Thank you for making it till the end of chapter 5. If you have read the book or watched the movie, tell us what you think. You can let us know on our Facebook page or our Instagram, Between the Pages podcast, and if you're listening on SoundCloud or YouTube, drop a comment below. We post every second Monday, so tune in for next chapter where we continue the theme, book adaptation.